ourselves differently than we used to. I think we sort of fell into Bob Street's whole idea that, you know, libraries were one step above the living room, and you should try and sort of position yourself that way. And then I realized that I hardly ever sit in my living room, and so I like it much better to be part positioned as a community kitchen where everybody comes in to do something.
And then there's
food. Food, absolutely. There has to be food. And sometimes you do other funny things to make that all happen. So when our strategic plan was launched, we actually had a party, a gala, and we invited council to that gala, and we had booze. I know that's not everybody's liking, but having a little treat and having a little drink, a small drink, having some entertainment. We had an Oscar winner as a guest speaker. So I think positioning yourself as, we have a strategic plan, and this is how we're launching it. It's very meaningful to us, and this is what's in it. Being clear about your vision, I think those things really help it, and having that strong community support. I think that you cannot run a library today successfully without being that kitchen, having all kinds of organizations coming in and swirling their ideas around and creating a new type of stew, because that is what gives you the backbone to go out there and say to council, I need to make a change in the way we do our business. We've been adventurous this year. Part of it we did because we knew we were risk-taking, and librarians are not big risk-takers. So we softened it a bit because we knew we wanted to go to Chicago and to Europe, and we wanted to see what other people were doing. We thought it was important, but important enough that we paid our own way. Now, that's not for everybody, and I understand that. But for us, we can't lobby counselors, and I hear Rona saying things like she takes the mayor out for coffee or go for breakfast. Here they have very strict rules, and I'm not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So it makes it very difficult sometimes, and I know it's the same in some other municipalities, and Cindy's just said yes to that same approach. So sometimes we have to be a bit more subversive. So the other thing that I do is when we come forward with our annual good news story, and we've just put it up on our website so that other people can see the YouTube link, that's the presentation we made to our council. We tell them, this is what we did with your money, and it was so great. So it's the no surprise, and it's a thank you, thank you, thank you that makes a huge difference. And you're right. I think it was Mary said or someone said that, you know, the best advocacy that you can have is when somebody else speaks on your behalf and says what an incredible job you're doing and people should go and see what you're doing.
So I will put that video up on the FOFA website. I haven't had a chance to look at it because I'm only working on my phone today. But we'll
might want to look at it
recorded.
First.
Pardon?
I said you might want to look at it first.
No, I have no doubt it's awesome. But you know, just before I ask Cindy and Claire to comment, the video. How do you get people to speak for you?
You know, it happens so easily when you are doing something that they want to have done or they want to have changed their life. So one of the people in the video, we didn't put names on it because people at council know who all these people are, and that's a distraction for them to read the names. But one of the people in the video is the person that's in charge of employment in our area. And she came in and she saw our new laser cutter and she saw the programs that we were handling. And for her, you'll see her in the video, she says, wow. And it's obvious that she's saying wow. So when people on council see that, they say, oh, the library is doing something for employment in our community. Wow. And I think that's the answer, is meeting other people's needs and finding what those needs are and working towards helping them.
Okay. Cindy.
Well, I think a lot of what I had to say has already been said. I will say I had the wonderful opportunity to work for Susan a few years ago, and she taught me about the good news story to council, and so I have certainly utilized that since, and it is one of the most beneficial tools to tell your happy stories, your positive influence in the community, and show them how you have spent your money. So I think it's very important. We too make sure that council is aware of what our needs are, and again, we're trying to echo it through several different communities who are our union partners. And so it's really getting getting that information out there ahead of your ask. I recently had to ask for a substantial amount of money for a 30-year-old elevator that needs to be replaced. But everyone around the table before I went in for the ask was well aware through media coverage, through my talks at senior management meetings, et cetera, that this elevator was so important to the library, to our accessibility, to our staff, to move our materials from floor to floor, that we simply can't do without it. And so I was very pleased to receive the funding to be able to go forward with that.
And the AODA mandate, and there's a video of someone in a wheelchair pushing a stroller.
Absolutely. It's all about health and safety and AODA as well, but it's the fact that they know how important we are in our community.
Thank you. Claire, what's influence in the budget like in your community, and what are some of your strategies?
Oh, our budget has already been adopted by council in October, so we're ahead of many. Yes. I agree with many people that for budget, it's the same thing as any other things. You have to work long-term, all the time. You don't get at budget time and all of a sudden you say, we need this, we need that. That won't work at all. I wanted also to mention two things, communications. I think in rural areas, we have particular challenges as far as communications. You were talking, Stephen, just a few moments ago about newspapers. In our case, in my community, there are like no more local papers. So this poses, this is a challenge for us because we do not have any papers talking about what's going on at the municipality, with council and stuff like that. So we rely right now a lot on social media and other means of communications. Another strategy we've been using is creating major events. Where we get a lot of participants, a lot of people attending, and these become like a tradition in our community. And these are events that the library gets talked about because of those major events. We've had speakers that were very well known where we had like 200 people attending.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And we have our annual volunteer event. For example, we get 100 people every year attending that, and that's become a tradition. So people know about it, and they identify the library with these events. When you build on something like that, it pays long-term. But I'd like to hear people about communications problem in rural areas, how they deal with that.
So let's make that the next question.
With
communications, like if you don't have some of the traditional vehicles, I know that our newspapers have changed a lot. I know that in Southern Ontario, Toronto Star has pretty well bought nearly all the local papers through the Metroland system, and they're republishing things. So they're not as local as they might have been traditionally. And Claire surprised me by mentioning that they're using social media a lot, which I'm often told is difficult in rural areas. How do you get the word out? How do you get the community on side and know what you're doing? So they can be influential.
Social media, I guess it's something that you can't really control. You can always ask people or tell them to like you on Facebook, but it's probably easier because you know people. You know more people in the community than you would maybe if you worked in a large urban area. But it's once people know that it's a great way to know what's happening in the library, then they easily join and like you on Facebook, and that's how they know what's happening. And you have to feed it all the time, which is a challenge for small libraries.
Yeah, that's
we don't have a social media staff.
Rona, what sort of strategies do you use in using the tools to get your word out where it comes in? I think it's sort of like talking about influence coming in sideways, like not just going face-to-face or making presentations, but telling people in the world so that they start talking it up in the, when they're talking to people at barbecues where somebody you need to influence that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of all the various strategies we've heard over the last 45 minutes. And I think you really have to employ all of them simultaneously. So, you know, we do have local papers here, and one of them is still sort of very, I'll call it small town, if you will. So we do get the kind of coverage that's still very beneficial for us. And it is sort of the main communication tool in town. Certainly all of the engaged citizens are big readers. And, of course, a lot of the social media, as Claire was talking about, we recently launched a Facebook page. We've been using Twitter. But, again, we find that, as I think Susan said it before, that the best advocates are our users. And we find, I'll say, when we first got Vimeo here, we almost didn't have to promote it. We demoed it for the board, and the next thing we knew, it was all over town. They didn't stop talking about it. It was the best advertising. I couldn't have paid for that kind of promotion.
Yeah, I hear via the grapevine that small town networks are pretty good.
It was being a big city girl myself until I actually became a CEO. I was shocked at the power of it, but I have learned to embrace it and recognize that it is one of our best tools. So, and of course, I think it was Susan again who mentioned that those impact statements carry a lot more weight to politicians than any song and dance I could ever do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helps advance your agenda. So really, if you're, again, we come back to the relationship building, and if you offer that excellent customer service and you're consistent with it, that's going to be the talk of the town.
And we're told that stories, personal stories and the impact studies, such as Toronto Public Library launched their major impact study at the branch level this week, showing, you know, over $1 billion in economic impact, which is a nice number to quote. When we have impact studies, when we talk about the, you know, FOPL supported the school readiness research that shows we have an impact on kids' performance in schools from public libraries. Mary, what sort of stuff do you use in terms of the tools and communications? Claire's question.
Yeah, I'm glad Claire brought it up because communication is certainly one of the big challenges, and I don't know if I have anything different to add to what people have said. We have one weekly newspaper here, and we have Facebook and Twitter that we were diligent about posting on, but you know, and that reaches a certain segment of the population, and then people that come into the library and use our website. So reaching out to the people that don't use those resources is a continuing challenge. I know many people personally who say our paper's the Georgina Advocate. Oh, I never read that. I never pick it up off the driveway. And I'm thinking, okay, but then you're saying you don't know what's going on in town, and that's where everything is. So getting through that blockage that people have about accessing the tools that are there is conversation, I guess. Being out and about and talking it up.
Yeah. How about you, Susan?
I'm a fringe person. So, you know, I love to watch what's happening at the fringe and see what's successful there and then see if we can try it. So, for example, a couple of years ago there was I had a bunk in the head this summer, so I can't remember names sometimes, so it's not coming to me right now. A lady wrote a book, or was starting to write a book. It was about a phrase that she put on the side of a sidewalk or a building. It said, "Before I die," and then people would write in what they wanted to do before they die.
Yeah.
We had a very big campaign here during Culture Days 2 years ago to do that, and actually she's just published her book and Innisfil's in it. So I haven't seen the copy yet, but that kind of campaign involved the community, people who normally don't necessarily use us and were intrigued by that. So a campaign of intrigue I think is important. A campaign also that reaches all about me aspect. People are very they think very perhaps a lot about themselves today. Selfies, that word's going to be in the dictionary, so capitalizing on that idea and saying, what can I do that can show people more about themselves or highlight different individuals. So we did another campaign this year during Culture Days. It was called Faces of Innisfil. And we went around and took photographs of various people in the community, and we posted them all, and we had a competition over the winning photograph. And that was, again, bringing a lot of people in that would not have talked to us or heard about us in any other way, but promoting us to a different group, a different way. And the third thing was, in the Faces of Innisfil, we took to all the community events. So we took pictures everywhere, and we posted the pictures that we had, sort of the best selection at that time. The third one we've done is actually came from something I heard in Atlanta last year. Somebody's from a library. I think it was Black Hills, South Dakota. And they were talking, just mentioning the idea that people today can find out anything they want about Paris or France or Germany or whatever. They don't have to come to the library for many of those ideas. But what they can't often find out is who built the local school, what year did it go up, when did that cairn come out, you know, what does that mean, what cemetery has this happening in it. So that local information is also an area that we start to look at, and we have our Stories project, which again is drilling down into that local information, capturing local stories and drawing people to the library to tell those local stories who haven't told them before. So a very big way to engage your community, and it's the vision piece. It's not saying, well, we need you here because we need more money. And I guess I would emphasize, even to go back to that question, this is a communication piece, but it ties to your budget, because going to council should never just be about give me money. It should be about that communication about what you're doing and how the community is involved in what you're doing. And I think that is showing up in those projects.
Well, I'm hearing a couple of themes in the projects you talked about. And one of them is you don't hit the budget head on, you don't hit advocacy head on, you build a relationship. But doing something, and I've seen those, before I die, post-it note walls or whiteboard walls or colored markers on the front window of the library or my bucket list of books.
Right.
You end up collecting community stories that you can use as part of your advocacy efforts. Edmonton Public Library took a number of their feedback things that they had and turned it into an infographic where it just talked about, you know, the library made all the difference in my life. I helped my health, or I helped my career success. Cindy, can you talk a little bit about the topic of communications and, you know, sort of some of the stuff you might do in Owen Sound or beyond?
Well, certainly we do a lot of what's already been talked about. But coming down to a small and medium-sized library, one of the things that we're starting to do with our newsletter, which we have electronically and in paper format. And I know this seems so simplistic. We do social networking. We have lots of other avenues with a local newspaper, local radio station, and those sorts of involvement. But we make sure that our council and all our city employees receive our electronic newsletter. And our newsletter is not just about programming. It talks about our services as well as our programs, but it also talks about some of our needs as well. We also are communicating results from our survey that we did this past year through our newsletter as well. So we're able to get a tremendous amount of information put through our newsletter, and we're not only sending that out to council, but we're putting it in the arenas, we're putting it in the new health center, a variety of places to attract the non-user. But that also helps when council and our board members see those publicity pieces out in our community, because it makes us, just like City TV, we're everywhere.
So I've had enjoyed the discussion so much I lost track of time. So, Sean, I was hoping that we could open it up for questions from people who are on the call. So, Sean will start speaking now.
Absolutely. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
And Sean will introduce on however you registered. And just tell me who you want to answer your question, and we'll take any questions that anybody might have from this illustrious group of experienced advocates for small and mid-sized libraries.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad.
Post account 10.
And there are currently no questions at this time, sir.
Okay. Just tell me if you hear of a question, Sean. You can jump in any time. What I heard a couple of you talk about was, subversiveness, which I always think is the greatest strength of libraries. We're subversive in that you can read whatever you want, you can learn whatever you want, and you can have the life you want in our library without any judgment, and I just love that about us. But you also talked about creating events. Claire called it creating an event with tradition. So I love the Book Lovers Ball in Toronto. My wife loves the book club and drinking a glass of white wine while discussing books at Toronto Public Library and meeting authors. Creating events as an advocacy strategy. Can anyone jump in on that?
This is Cindy, and while we haven't had this event yet, we are putting together an event for the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Carnegie portion of our library. Our library in the community is much older than that. It's about 157 years old. But the Carnegie Library will be 100 in February, and we're using that as a great opportunity to pull the politicians in from our local area. And then we are looking towards a renovation of our main floor, and so we're hoping to be able at that time to really talk about the direction of that project.
So you're having a celebration. It'll be fun. There'll be white wine. But you're also subversively saying, well, we need better wireless access and a little bit of renovation here.
No wine, Stephen, but you're right.
Anyone else? I love that librarians are always talking about the next event and not bragging about the wonderful events they had in the past. But if you had any past events or whatever.
This is Mary, and for the last number of years, and we'll be doing it again in the spring, and it's our friends of the library that do it now, but we have an annual fundraiser that's called the Great Grown-Up Spelling Bee. And teams from organizations and businesses around town dress up in costume and create and come, and it's an adult event. There's wine and dinner and a lot of hilarity, and people love to compete at spelling bees.
Wow, is that ever awesome?
Yeah,
I never thought of that.
I
love spelling bees.
It's an idea that Kelly Bernstein, who used to work for us, found through her mother. Came from the Kingston Literacy Council, and it's a prepackaged program how to put it on, and we've evolved it over the years, and people look forward to it. People talk about it in the paper afterwards sometimes. They got foiled on a word, and it was unfair.
One of my favorite Broadway plays this year is last year was the Great Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Mm.
And, of course, that started at the Fringe Festival and grew up into a Broadway play, and it's just such a great idea. And you can let people know what else you're doing while they're in the library.
That's right. Well, we have it at a town hall, and the mayor is always has a role to play, and so does our MPP and other. You know, we get dignitaries and the local newspaper. She's usually one of the judges, and we involve as many people as we can.
Well, I love that you are bringing in business teams, because
yes,
that tends to be one of our advocacy efforts in getting the Chamber of Commerce and the businesses involved in knowing the library can serve them and that they can be supportive of us. And that's an interesting subversiveness.
And we have fun.
Yeah. Well, fun in the library? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyone else got an event?
Sure. It's Susan. So we had a gala last year with an Oscar winner, and what we discovered through that was not only do people like coming to those annual events at the library, but they like to dress up. And
mm-hmm.
I guess there aren't a lot of opportunities sometimes in small and rural areas. So this gave people a venue to wear their fancy dresses and enjoy the party. And we did a similar one. We had Neighborhood Plate this fall, where we worked with the economic development people and the agriculture people and had local foods. Library staff did the serving, and the local restaurant all created one dish, and we served to 65 people. It was an amazing. We had jazz. We had Tia Bragna come and play, and it was an amazing night. People were dancing in between the tables, and they're still talking about that. So I think it is an opportunity for us to work with the various groups and to find some joint success stories.
And we always talk about the library as community center. And that becomes a subversive kind of proof that people are engaged with the library and it's not irrelevant at all. So just in the last few minutes, before I thank you all for an awesome job, I want to talk about thank you. Ken Haycock talked a lot about the role of thank yous in our advocacy and influencing efforts for when we get our budget. You know, we do tend to have a lot of things we could complain about, but sometimes we get a budget increase or we get a major support or a lever or a speech that thanks us. How do you thank people? Some of you talked about you couldn't buy them a coffee. Others could.
I'm delivering chocolate to the Civic Center this afternoon.
Awesome.
I'm making my Santa rounds.
See, well, there's an opportunity. It's Santa time. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as a general rule, there are a lot of different ways to say thank you, but a public thank you, particularly for a politician, carries a lot of weight because it's something that they can bank on and move forward with. So I think it's important to do it on two levels, to express your appreciation privately, because I think that they might feel that that's more genuine, but to make sure that whoever deserves the public recognition gets it, because it's important to people who run for office.
And I agree. I know that one of my roles in FOPL is when someone does a good for libraries, they get a letter from me at FOPL, and sometimes signed by our chair, thanking them for their support of libraries, because it's just, frankly, good manners.
Indeed, and I think it they remember that. Well, I think they remember those who don't thank them.
Yeah.
That's the list you don't want to be on.
And I'm starting to get Christmas cards from politicians I send thank yous to, so now I know I'm in their database. And
okay. And
so
that's worth playing gold.
Little bit of ripple effect. How about Claire? What does thank you look like in Russell?
Well, we have our annual volunteer event, thank you, at Christmas time. We invite our politicians, so that's a way to say thank you. I think also one way to say thank you is make it personal. We have cards, for example, we had a photo contest here, so we have greeting cards that have pictures of the municipality, nature pictures, all kinds of things in the municipality. So we use those for thank you cards. So that sort of adds a personal touch to it, to your thank you.
I know there's those library clothing. I have a friend who runs a small library system, but in a very wealthy community. And she had a custom designed tie. And if you gave more than $1 million to the library, you got that tie. So when people are at events, you might see 5 or 6 ties there, and people very proudly wear the tie. She has a matching, it's a silk tie, so she has a matching silk scarf for female donors. But, you know, just like, you know, a visible recognition, and you can see the pride they had because they were all, when I was down there for the party, a lot of people were wearing those ties.
Wow, two of those ties would be my budget.
Well, clearly all you need is the tie. Well, we're hitting the top of the hour. And so Susan, Mary, Cindy, Rona, and Claire, thank you very much for giving us an hour of your day and sharing your insights and perspectives. You were very interesting. I've learned a lot from you today, and I really appreciate it on behalf of myself and on behalf of FOPL.
Well, it was fun.
So I look forward to seeing everybody at Super Conference on January 28th. We will have a half-day workshop to pull this series of advocacy things together and start to build some sound bites and strategies for, you know, 4 or 5 things we can do to talk about the value of the library and the impact we have. And we'll have that come out of that workshop. So I encourage everyone to attend and come the half-day early for the Super Conference. We'll have another session in January. I've forgotten the date, but in the first week or two of January, I'm going to do another session on this teleconference to finish off the series. And the recording for this session, I hope to have up on the website on Monday. So thank you very much, everyone. And is it coming up the weekend? No, it's early in the week. I'll be back in Toronto tomorrow. Thanks a lot to my panelists. And thanks a lot to the attendees on behalf of FOPL. I hope you're enjoying this series. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great day,
everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.